compel him to leave the comforts of aristocratic American society, wandering through culturally and religiously diverse land of the Asian continent. He passed through Turkey, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. His 19 years old pursuit finally brought him to the foothills of Himalayas, where he went through a palatra of impression, studying under Buddhist monks, even experimenting with Shivaism. His search finally culminated with an intense spiritual experience during his first meeting with His Divine Grace, A.S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, in 1971 at Cross Maidan, Mumbai. Since then, dedicating his life to preach the sublime gospel of Bhagavad Gita has helped tremendously, and unadulterated, that he has taken utter and utmost very important step to spread the message of Vedic civilization and conclusion to all over the world, traveling and preaching widely. He is one of the genius of his form, and his message is humility rather than pride, compassion as opposite to envy, are the qualities we should be striving for. By cleaning the mirror of our hearts through the process of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we can also experience real ananda, spiritual happiness. So let us wholeheartedly welcome him in our traditional style, the loud chanting.
Thank you. Of the effulgent here in this Calcutta area how he was preaching Krishna consciousness. Gauravana Deshtapika describes, first he lived in Navadvipa, then he came to Katwa, and then to this Calcutta area. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu personally came here to inspire him in his preaching. And how inspired he was. There was a Qazi living in this area. He hated Indians. He would punish or kill them if they publicly practiced the religion. It is explained how no dharmic person would come near this Qazi. He was so wicked, so cruel. If someone was even touched by the breeze that had come from him, or even touched by his shadow, they would jump in the Ganges to purify themselves. He outlawed the chanting of the holy names. One night, middle of the night, Gadadhar Das runs right into the Qazi's house and screams out, "Qazi, you rascal! Chant the holy names or I will cut your head off." The guards were right there. Normally they would have killed him in a second, but they could not believe his boldness. They were shocked. All they could do was stand there and look at him. Meanwhile, the Qazi was woken up to that scream. He was angry as fire. He came out to murder that culprit. He ran out and saw Gadadhar Das. But Gadadhar Das looked at him with such love, such compassion. The Qazi's heart melted. He said, "Gadadhar Das, what are you doing here in the middle of the night?" Gadadhar Das said, "Qazi, the Supreme Lord of all living beings has descended into this world as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And the Lord has come with this message that anyone who chants the holy names of the Lord will become free from all their sinful karmas and attain pure love for the Lord. The whole world is now chanting the holy names except for you, rascal Qazi. So I have come to demand that you chant the names Hari Hari
Hari Hari."
Qazi looked at him. "It's late at night. Go home. Tomorrow I'll say Hari Hari." Gadadhar Das leaped in the air. "Why tomorrow, Qazi? You have just said Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
From your mouth has sprung the holy names Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And you are freed of all your sins! You are liberated!" Gadadhar Das was so blissful, chanting Hari Hari, with tears pouring from his eyes, he danced all over the house of the Qazi. And danced out the door. This was the power, this was the boldness of associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. This took place in this Calcutta area, close by, just a few miles away from Prabhupada said, Haniyati, the place of Raghava Pandit, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally performed his wonderful leela, chanting and dancing. It was the place when Nityananda Prabhu, after being instructed by Lord Chaitanya to leave Puri and come to Bengal, at the house of Raghava Pandit, he performed non-sankirtan. Every devotee he gazed upon with his loving glance was empowered with his shakti and his ecstatic love. They had kirtan for 2 months. No one considered eating, drinking, or sleeping. That was the power of living under Krishna's love. In surcharged within their hearts. And Kali went. And Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a Trayojana Guru, he was living in Krishnapur, in the area of Adi Satyagram, not too far from here. So many times he tried to leave his home to dedicate his life and soul, his body, mind, and words to Lord Chaitanya. He tried to go to Puri, but every time he escaped, he would be apprehended by his parents and brought back home. Until he came to Palihati under that beautiful bamboo tree that still stands today, he surrendered his life to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Prabhu ordered him to make a feast, chiragahi, chipped rice and yogurt and condensed milk, and feed it to all the Vaishnavas and all the assembled people. And after Raghunath Das Goswami served the Vaishnavas with such sincere love and devotion, Nityananda Prabhu placed his feet on his head. He said, because the devotees have been served so well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally come here to accept your offering. Then he asked all the devotees to bless Raghunath Das Goswami. And after receiving those blessings, Sri Nityananda Prabhu promised him, blessed him. And very soon you will be free from all material entanglement and you will become one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya, the assistant and his personal secretary, Swami Prabhupada Goswami. And soon after that, Prabhupada Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri to be the Lord's personal secretary. That took place in Calcutta area. And just nearby that is Karadaha, which was the base of preaching for Nityananda Prabhu. Along with Janaka Devi, they preached all over Bengal without any discrimination of who is fit or who is unfit. They spread the glories of the holy name. And it was there in Kadaha that Veerachandra and Ganga, the two children of Nityananda, took birth from Vishuddha, the second wife of Nityananda. There's another place. This is a very important place. Right in this Calcutta area, if you look over here. The region was called Varaha Naga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling. He came here, Calcutta. And there was a great scholar named Raghunath who loved to read Srimad Bhagavatam. When he saw Lord Chaitanya, he began to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic to hear the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. He fell unconscious. Then when he came back to consciousness, he cried out, read more, read more. As Raghunath was reading, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy. That is how he was affected by Srimad Bhagavatam. He was dancing, leaping, weeping. His hairs were standing on end. Tears were pouring from his eyes. His limbs were trembling simply by hearing the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now most of us, Srimad Bhagavatam class,
very difficult just to stay awake.
But this was the standard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of his taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. About 8 or 9 hours passed where Lord Chaitanya continuously danced as he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and Lord Chaitanya finally, he said, you are the greatest of all the reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam, today I award you the name Bhagavat Acharya. The great teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are unlimited stories of the Lord and his associates in this region. Later on, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Well, let's go back. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Adi-lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how Calcutta was created. Do all of you know this story? Not too far from here is Adisatthigram, where one of the prime associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had his residence. His name was Uttaranganga Thakur. So the Prabhupada explains that Uttaranganga Thakur is from the same gotra as Srila Prabhupada himself. And he describes, at the time of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Saptagram was the home of a whole family line of Suvarnabhani, gold merchants. They were very wealthy. They were bankers. Even governments were surviving on the basis of loans from them. And they were considered the most materialistic people in all of Bengal. Considered the hardest to ever preach to about spirituality. Because they were totally engrossed in their financial dealings and very expert at it. But this Uttaranganga Thakur, he went to Saptagram and went house to house and house to house preaching. And when Nityananda Prabhu came, Nityananda Prabhu went house to house and saw everyone was a devotee. And before Nam Sankirtan and Adi Saptagram, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat describes it was one of the most amazing, powerful kirtans in the history of this planet. Nityananda Prabhu and all the gold merchants chanted an ecstatic love of God. When the British wanted to create Calcutta, at that time these were just little villages. One was Kalighat, and another was another temple that they village around. The British, they brought the Suvarnabhanis from Adisatthigram to set up businesses and make their home sphere and generate a city. Srila Prabhupada explains that the British awarded them the name Mullah to suit these Adisatthigram merchants. They awarded them the name Mullah. And there were two divisions amongst the Mullahs, the seals and the gays. Srila Prabhupada said that he is coming from the line of days. At the time when Calcutta was founded, over half the city were the monks. They built the city up. And that is where Srila Prabhupada and his forefathers from Saptagram they settled in Calcutta. Became the most important city of the British Empire in India. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for some time, he made his base in Calcutta. He had a home here, and it was here that he was meeting with the most influential, the most learned of all the higher citizens in the aristocracy of Calcutta, and preaching to them, and establishing his Namhata. It was here in Calcutta that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many
in his greatest songs, in his greatest books, and preached to most influential people. And his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, born in Jagannath Puri, was serving his father in Sri Mayapur Dham. When he had his calling under the order of Bhakti Vinod Thakur with the blessings of Guru Kishoras Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided to establish his preaching mission in Calcutta. Left his residence in Mayapur to come here and preach with great determination. And started recruiting the most powerful, learned, qualified people to help him. And one Uttadanga Joshi Road. It's not a large, it's just a house. He began his first Gaudiya Math. There's a beautiful story. I was just telling Shesha. I'd like to share with you some of that. One of the most amazing lectures I ever heard by Srila Prabhupada. For those of you who have the MP3s, please go to this lecture. Hyderabad, 1976, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance. Srila Prabhupada wrote a poem. Within that poem, one stanza is absolute essential, thou hast proved impersonalist calamity thou hast proved. Do all of you know about that poem? It begins, authority, authority. It's a Vyas Puja offering from Srila Prabhupada to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada wrote it when he was living in Bombay, which is also a very important city. And he read it on his Guru Maharaj's last message. Srila Prabhupada reads this poem, and after every stanza he gives a report. Very intimate reports. Some of the purports is going back and revealing intimate parts of his life that I never even heard before. He's glorifying his Guru Maharaj. He's explaining the history of his pastimes with his Guru Maharaj and beautiful philosophy as well. I'll share a few things with him. But you know, I thought, did you know this poem? Where he said something else. Fresh, sweeter than May. In the first stanza, he talks about how his Guru Maharaj, he appeared in this world.
I think it's the oldest poem, but in the grass. I don't know.
But he talks about the month of May.
Yeah.
His Guru Maharaj's coming was like the spring freshness of May. And Prabhupada says, in India, May is the worst month. The hottest month. Yes? Calcutta? May is the time of usually when you either go in the Ganges or you go to the Himalayas or you go abroad. The Prabhupada said, why did I say choose May as the best month of the year? He said, because I wrote the poem in English in 1936. And he said, and I had heard that in America, May is the best month. And then Prabhupada said, isn't there a day called May Day? He said, so because I wrote the poem in English, I chose the best month in America to compare that to the time when I grew up. Prabhupada explains here in that country. 1932. He joined Gandhiji's movement. And at that time, Mahatma Gandhi, he encouraged students to sacrifice their education in getting their diplomas to prove their non-participation in the British rule. So even though Srila Prabhupada spent years and years and years studying, he gave up. He rejected his diploma. Prabhupada said, I was addicted to Gandhi. And at that time, here in Calcutta, his father's very intimate friend, and also a family member, was Kartik Chandra Bose, who happened to be one of the founding industrialists of India. He began the Bengal Chemical Company. And he invited Srila Prabhupada to be a branch manager for him in Calcutta. So Srila Prabhupada asked his father, and his father gave his blessings. Now one of the... Do you like this story? Prabhupada said the followers of Gandhi would only wear khadi, this hand-spun cotton, because they were striking against any of the British mills that were producing cloth. So when Prabhupada came in and stood before Kartik Chandra Bose, wearing only khadi, Mr. Bose said, the only thing I like about Gandhi's movement is this wearing khadi. He said, because I believe the Indians making their own cloth like this, this is the beginning of industry in India. This is a very intelligent proposal by Gandhi. You want to hear the story? It's all on this lecture. The Prabhupada sacrificed everything. And he became quite prominent in Calcutta because he had a big position. Then his friend, Narendra Mullen, dragged him to see Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati on Gautam Dhamma Junction Road, who was giving that lecture on the rooftop. And in this particular lecture, Srila Prabhupada explains in these words, when I first met my Guru Maharaj, he ordered me that you are an intelligent young man, you should spread Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in the Western world. So the Prabhupada said he took that order, his life and soul. But soon after that, he was transferred to Allahabad, where he became the branch manager of Bose's pharmaceuticals there. He was always remembering his Guru Maharaj, but he had no association until almost 6 years later, in 1928, some of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came to Allahabad to start a center. They were trying to raise funds, gain interest, and wherever they were going, people were saying that you should go to see Abhay Babu. He's a very religious man. He will help you. Prabhupada said, I was very prominent in Allahabad. So they came to his shop, and when Prabhupada saw him, he remembered his Guru Maharaj, who he only saw that one time and never again for so many years. He was so happy. And he gave his heart and soul to assist them. And after some time, he went to Koshi in Vrindavan to meet Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. 1933. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur went to Allahabad. And the temple president recommended Prabhupada for initiation. Prabhupada says in this lecture, my Guru Maharaj said, I have taken note of this boy. He likes to hear. He does not go away. I will initiate him. That was in 1933. Srila Prabhupada said he was living in Bombay in 1936 when he wrote this poem, Adori Adori, as a Vyas Puja offering to his Guru Maharaj. He said, my Guru Maharaj liked this poem very much. He would read it with his disciples, to his well-wishers and friends. He would quote it. And from that day on, Prabhupada said, all his god brothers called him Kavi, the poet. But listen carefully. Srila Prabhupada said, after 1936, he lost the poem. He never saw it again. Prabhupada says, since I last saw this poem, 40 years has passed. Now it's 1976, and just now, the poem has come back to me. Would you like to know how it came back to
it? Yeah.
Prabhupada said, one of my disciples, I believe it was Guru Das, was in London, and he was researching a big library in London. And while researching in that library, he happened to come upon The Harmonist, which is the magazine printed by Devotee Amat in the 1930s. And when he found The Harmonist, he was looking through it, and he found a poem by Abhay Charanaravinda. So Guru Das made a copy of that poem and sent it to Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was expounding how much joy, how much happiness that after all these years, 40 years, the poem has come back. And then he continued reading. These are all, what I'm saying to you, are just parts of the purports for each verse he's given. Very, very special. Please listen to that chant. You'll be very happy. So back to Calcutta. When Srila Prabhupada was a Srila Prabhupada took his birth in Calcutta. Some say it was in that area of Bhagavad Acharya. Some Gaudiya Math people, they have declared that that area is Shamalasakhi Kunja, the place where the associate of Lord Chaitanya, who was Shamalasakhi in Krishna's Leela, resided under the jackfruit tree. Very interesting. Prabhupada says he was born under a jackfruit tree. How many of you have been there? Prabhupada's birthplace. We went there just last year, maybe around some of the devotees from Calcutta. And we met some of Prabhupada's, one of the nephews of Srila Prabhupada, who was from Prabhupada's mother's side. That area is where Prabhupada's mother was born and raised. And generally, Prabhupada was living, I mean, Prabhupada's father and mother were living on Harrison Road. But the tradition is that when the mother is pregnant, she goes back to her own native place, to her parents' home and gives birth. So Prabhupada was born there, in his mother's native place. there's a deity of Madan Mohan right across the street. And that's where they would do the Shasti Puja. They would bring the child when he was very young. That Madan Mohan deity is the first deity Prabhupada ever saw when he was an infant baby. They did pujas before the deity and offered the child to him. When Prabhupada was a little child living on Harrison Road, his family deity was Radha Govinda, which was built by the Malak community. Still there today. Srila Prabhupada would regularly go there. When he was real small, his mother or his father would bring him there. When he got a little older, he would go there himself. And sometimes just spend hours just praying to the deity, chanting for the deity. And when he was a little boy, his Radha Yatra was in the compound of the Radha Govinda temple. From that inspiration of Srila Prabhupada for Radha Yatra here in Calcutta, he spread Radha Yatras to every major city in the world. We were speaking about 1922. Srila Prabhupada explains when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati for the first time in Uttaragama Jyotri Road, there happened to be a jackfruit tree. So large that it was giving shade even on the roof of that small house. He met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur under a jackfruit tree. He was born under a jackfruit tree, physically, and he was spiritually born under that jackfruit tree when he first met his guru. Both in hell, Kacha. Yeah! Another very important, we're only skimming a few of the glories of Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada was living in Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And he decided it was the time to carry out the mission of his Guru Maharaj to go to the West. So he came down to Bombay. Somehow or other, with great efforts, he convinced Sumati Maharaj to give him free fare on a cargo ship to New York City. From Bombay, he took the Bombay Mail train, it's a very long train, to Calcutta. From Calcutta, he went down to Srimaya Purban. And there he spent the day at the Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, praying for his blessings and his mercy to execute his order and go to the West. He came back to Calcutta. My dear godbrother, Ramananda Puri, he showed me a newspaper article he somehow rather found from 1965. Prabhupada, at that time, came to a small newspaper in Calcutta and gave an interview. He said, you know, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is going by the M.V. Shalabhuta to New York City, where he has many temples, many followers, where he's going to spread the mission of Lord Chaitanya and the work of Bhaktivedanta Swami. He didn't know a single person there. But he had that confidence that if I execute the order of my Guru Maharaj, everything will be there. It was here in Calcutta at the King George Dockyards that he boarded the John Dutta. There were five people came to see him on. According to his diary, one was his youngest son, Vrindavan Chandra. I asked Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, what were you thinking when you saw your father with no money, not knowing anyone, the age of 69 going on 70, sailing off to America, across two oceans and two continents? What were you thinking? Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu smiled with tears in his eyes and said to me, I was proud of my father. Yes, from Calcutta, Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta and commenced his journey to the West. Now when Srila Prabhupada came back to India, one of the prominent places that he focused his attention was Calcutta. He personally developed the temple we are seeing today. It was perhaps the first temple he had in India. It still exists. And interestingly, Prabhupada named the deities Radha Govinda. He was worshipping Radha Govinda in Calcutta from his birth. And now he was inviting all his disciples to worship Radha Govinda with him in our temple. Yes, Prabhupada, in that little room next door, and where we're sitting now, he gave dozens and dozens of lectures. He met hundreds and hundreds of people. In fact, Vrindavan Chandra Day told me right in here, when Prabhupada's first granddaughter was born, he brought the little baby and put the baby on Prabhupada's lap and Prabhupada played with her and named her Gauri. And it was here in Calcutta that Prabhupada was dispatching his devotees to go to Mayapur to acquire land. And sitting right in this room next door, in the middle of the night, His Holiness Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj came back with the deed to show Prabhupada we have land and money. Srila Prabhupada considered Mayapur to be his place of worship, the place where ecstatic love and non-sankirtan originated, and where it would spread out throughout the world. The birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the birthplace of the non-sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada made it the international headquarters for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada considered Calcutta to be the gateway to Srimaya. My humble question to you: are you convinced that Calcutta is a very important place? Yes! Prabhupada's birthday. Actually, during Prabhupada's last months on this planet, he was speaking to some of his closest disciples about America. Prabhupada began to cry. He said, I owe a great debt to the land of America because America gave me so many of my best devotees to preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Did you get that? Well, we as followers of disciple of Srila Prabhupada, we can think this way, that we owe a great debt to Calcutta. Because from Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada was born. in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In Calcutta, the seed of the whole Hare Krishna movement was planted in his heart when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him the order in Calcutta. You are an intelligent young man. You should spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the Western world in the English language. It was from Calcutta that Srila Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta that took him to the West and brought back his disciples, especially Prabhupada. That was part of, intimate part of his mission, to bring Western people back to India. Because India was becoming so much westernized. If Western people are seen to be accepted wholeheartedly, with all commitment, the culture and tradition of Vaishnavism, then Indian people will take it seriously. Oh, people from America are doing it. Must be good. Yes. He was born here, he met his guru here, he got the order here, and he left to... He departed to execute the order from Calcutta. And then he came back to Calcutta. And made this a base of his for building Mayapur. The project that all the previous acharyas dreamed of. I never want to leave Calcutta at the moment. But I would like to end this section of our lecture with some food for thought. There is a saying, where there is the greatest need, there is the greatest opportunity for devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he once prayed and wrote down, I want to give up my life in Kurukshetra. Most people want to give up their life in Vrindavan and life. And he said, I want to give up my life in Kurukshetra. Why? Because where there's the greatest need, there's the greatest service. When the Vrindavasis went to Kurukshetra to meet Krishna during the solar eclipse, they were seeing Krishna after years and years of separation. But now, Krishna was not a coward boy. He was a prince. During the Radha Yatra in Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reenacting this leela. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is praying to Jagannath, Krishna, that you are the same Krishna and I am the same Srimati Radharani. But I want to bring you back to Vrindavan. Here, you are wearing the armor and the jewels of a great warrior. I want to see you with the Vrinja Lala and the wild forest flower garland and the peacock feather in your hair. Here there is the sounds of rattling chariots and elephants and great warriors. In Vrindavan, there is the singing of birds and the Kadamba forest and the moon of the cows. Please come back to Vrindavan. When Srimati Radharani saw Krishna in the condition of being Dwarkadish, she was in the greatest of all crises. She was in the greatest need. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I want to be there when Radharani and the Vrijavasis are feeling the greatest need so I can do the greatest service.
And that was Nityananda Prabhu's mission. Where there's the greatest need. Jagat and Madhai, who needed the holy name more than them? There he focused on them. Now when people were criticizing or warning Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, why are you leaving Mayapur? Why are you going to Calcutta? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Puri and he willfully decided to leave his body in Calcutta. Why not stay in Puri? Why not go to Mayapur? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is my place, Calcutta. Because it's where Maya is strongest. It's where Kali has taken her greatest toll. Where there's the greatest illusion, there's the greatest opportunity to smash illusion. I want to go where there's the most illusion, the most sin, where Kali is in her capital. That is where we can do the greatest service for the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore he made his headquarters Calcutta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada started his time. And now if we look at his time, there is much flourishing in Bombay. Three centers, hospitals, schools, thousands of devotees. Gauranga Prabhu was telling me this from Radha Gopinath Temple in Mumbai, from the college preaching. We have a whole team of brahmacharis doing college preaching. Amongst students who are in college now, in Bombay alone, not including Pune. Pune might even be more. In Bombay alone, in not even Bombay alone, just Chokpati Temple alone, there are 750 college students chanting at least 16 rounds. There is 1,250 college students chanting at least 4 rounds. And this is only amongst the men, because the brahmacharis only know about the women. There's ladies. There are hundreds of others who are ladies who are also becoming very serious devotees in colleges. And we all know Rajeshan Prabhu and Chaitanya Charan Prabhu and all of these devotees, how they are spreading college reach out, outreach, not only in Pune, to so many other places. And wherever they go, Srila Prabhupada's message is like a touchstone. It transforms people's hearts. Delhi, magnificent, flourishing region. But Calcutta, due to some inconceivable circumstances, Calcutta has been the most depressed place for Krishna consciousness in all of, amongst all the major cities of India. And it happens to be the land of Mahaprabhu, the land of Nityananda Prabhu, the very city where so many of the personal associates who descended from Goloka Vrindavan were living. The headquarters of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the birthplace of Prabhupada, of all places in India, Calcutta, the least. Is that sad to you? How many are saddened by that? There are two ways of looking at every situation. Pessimistically or optimistically. You can look at a half glass of half water and you can say, it's half empty. Or you can say, it's half full. Yes, it is very sad. Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world physically 31 years ago. And in these 31 years, the preaching in Calcutta is hardly the
fraction of my Bhagavan was here. And he was just beginning it. Sad. Actually, it's a very happy news. Because all of you had the opportunity to be pioneers and actually establish it. So many devotees, they talk about how I wish I was a devotee in the early years when there was nothing and you could actually be like a pioneer and start something fearlessly, take risks. Yes? Well, here in Calcutta, you have that chance. How many million people are in Calcutta?
15 million
people in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada is offering these 15 million people to all of you. They are yours. And that's all, it's the home of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. If in a grossly materialistic city like Bombay, so many college students are taken to Krishna consciousness, I believe in the core of my heart that 100%, if we put energy into preaching in the colleges, there will be thousands of students chanting Hare Krishna. What is the difference between Bombay and Calcutta? The difference is Calcutta is more fertile. Which is not reaching now. If we reach out, these expert devotees, the results are guaranteed. Congregational preaching. People of Calcutta are this. Prabhupada said, the people of India are this far from Krishna, but they're running this way. People of Calcutta are kind of this far from Krishna. It's Gaudadesh, but they're running this way. What an opportunity. Yes, it's wonderful to just join the movement in a very, very established temple where there's gigantic preaching going on and there's all organization and everything's really nice and you just plug into it to make it better. But there's something very, very special about coming to a place where you can make it happen almost from scratch. What satisfaction, what fulfillment, and what blessings are available in that situation. Yes. For those who take on the sacrifice of preaching in this city, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as our acharyas have done, there will be so many blessings. Showering down from Srila Prabhupada, showering down from his Guru Maharaj, showering down from Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and their associates. This is their home. The home of our acharyas, the home of the Lord. Yes. All it takes is some unity, some vision, of people who are attached to Prabhupada's teaching and chanting of the holy name. That's all that's required. And some determination. And unbelievable satisfaction of seeing tens of thousands of people's hearts changing. through that process, we will see the prophecy of the Acharyas manifest before our eyes as Srimad Bhagavatam reveals itself. My humble, sincere, fervent plea to all of you, let's work together and do something wonderful in this great, holy abode of Kyon Ajahn. Thank you very much.
Srila
Prabhupada ki
jai.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. कृपा सिंधु गंगे च पुत्रानां पावनेभ्यो नमस्तुभ्यो अवं की कोटि वैष्णव्य
I never sustained so many years.